The LARPbox Crusade presents Transformers Chronicles.
Hello and welcome back to Transformers Chronicles. I'm Delvin, aka The Dark Web. In case you're new to the show, welcome. Let me tell you what this thing is all about. We're going for a wild, crazy ride, chronicling awesome, wacky, and yep, sometimes corny world of Marvel Comics, The Transformers. But I will not be going at it alone. Let's see who we have on deck for tonight. First up, of course, we have the founder of the LARPbox Crusade, the novice to the Transformers world, relative novice, the seeker of the matrix of knowledge himself, Pat Sampson, DJ Christados. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, Delvin. Glad to be back here. Continue seeking my knowledge, looking for that matrix of something. What I found out, though, is if there's going to be a test at the end of 80-some issues and I'm going to have to know all these Autobot names, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm going to need to, like, steady cram for, like, hours and hours on end. But you know what? I'm glad that I'm talking about it now because there might be, our guest might be able to help me. I heard that he does some teaching and might be able to give me a study guide on this, possibly, so that I can learn all these crazy Autobot names, Sparkabots, Roadjammer bots, Spotty bots, bots, and, you know, all these Decept dupes and all that.
Yep. You know the rule that I gave you. The rule is, like, you don't, they're not really important if they only showed up one time. So
I don't know. Like, I don't know. That's true.
That's true. Like, I'd say, like, you know what? I'll amend that. If you only see them once, not important. You see them twice, kind of important. More than twice, then I'd start paying attention.
Okay.
So yeah, like, and so, you know, we'll see if any of these Sparkabots pop back up. But I actually have a segment on that, and you know what normally is John's segment of the show. We'll get to that. We will get to that, Pat. Okay. We will move on. Let me go back to the script here because this is a little bit off script. He is a member of our Crusaders Club, our guest tonight. And just a quick reminder, because I don't mention this enough here on Transformers Chronicles, you can join LARPbox Crusade's Patreon called the Crusaders Club by checking out Patreon and searching for LARPbox Crusade. Some of the benefits include possibly being on shows just like this. And with that, I bring to you Matt Passo, one of the members of the Crusaders Club. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's awesome to be here.
It is awesome to have you here. And dude, it has been so long since we had a new guest to the show. I was looking for, like, the shell script of the questions that I ask every new guest that comes on, and that ran out of spaces. Like, I guess at some point Pat was doing some cleanup on the Google Drive and, like, deleted everything from, like, 30 past. So I didn't have any, but I had to remember off the top of my head, and I think I did okay. So I got two questions for you. The first,
ready?
What got you into Transformers to start? I'm hoping that you have some Transformers background.
Those are things that, like, they're the robot things, right?
You're on the right track, yes.
Okay. No, basically, as a child of the 80s, yeah, I've kind of heard of Transformers a little bit. I grew up watching the cartoon anytime I could. For me, it was all about the cartoon and the toys, really similar to G.I. Joe. I didn't have a ton of the comics. I probably had, like, one or two. So for me, cartoon is my Transformers. I've picked up a few modern comics here and there. Like, I'm reading the new Skybound, and it's fantastic. But when it comes to the Marvel Universe, the IDW stuff, I haven't read too many of them.
Awesome. The cartoon is canon for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. I grew up watching a cartoon. I just happened to wander into a drugstore one day and start picking up the comic book too. But with that, we go to question two. Do you have a favorite Transformer?
I do have some favorite Transformers, and most of my favorite Transformers are Decepticons.
What? You have such a nice smile. You have such a good guy vibe that you emanate, Matt.
I'm a pretender. What can you say? probably my favorite Transformer of all time is this little fella right here, Mr. Starscream. Starscream is hands down my favorite character. If I had to pick, like, a second one, probably the Stunicons. I love Minosaur and Motormaster and all them. I've always joked that if I ever won the lottery, I would buy all the individual components of Minosaur, like the actual real world vehicles, and just park them in the front yard. Just
have them there. I remember the cartoon where one of the cliffhangers was Motormaster was coming one way and Optimus Prime was coming the other way, and they collided. And it was like, what happened? Optimus Prime whooped his butt. That's what happened.
Optimus survive the king of the road?
He did. He did. Like, Optimus is the true king of the road. But yes, man, I wish, Motormaster and the Minosaur and the Stunticons, they don't make too many appearances in Transformers. Like, we haven't seen them since, I think, about Transformers 23.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. Even though they were cool. So I wish that they would have gotten a little bit more time. But see, there you go. You won't need that for the test. And for that, I also said,
If I write the test, you will need that.
If Matt writes the test, you will need it. If anyone else writes it, maybe, maybe not.
The other thing, though, about Transformers, like, a lot of the memories for me are like the toys, getting them, seeing them in the store and stuff like that. I still have memories of when I got this one or that specific one. And those memories just kind of stick with you.
I used to go to KB Toy Store, Western Hills Mall in Birmingham. And I would sit there and read all the tech specs of the toys that I could not get because like I wouldn't even ask mama for them toys. those are Christmas and birthdays, man. Oh, so
it was much more affordable to get G.I. Joe or He-Man than a Transformer.
Oh yeah.
And I had maybe five or six Transformers growing up.
Do you remember which ones?
I got Starscream as a birthday present from an aunt and uncle. I got the one that I always remember. I'm trying to think he may have been my first one. I got Hound. And I stayed at my grandparents' house. It was like Friday nights. I would go stay there, wake up, and had a little cot in this room. And I woke up and rolled over, and they had bought Hound. And Hound boxed was sitting there. And I was just like, oh, what? So that always kind of stuck out to me. So, like, Hound's always one of my favorites, but he's not, like, my favorite. My bad guys are my favorites because they're more interesting characters in general.
And Starscream's so well-defined. And maybe not in issue 46, but coming up, Starscream's going to play a pretty important role. But I'm not going to get to that yet. I'm not going to play spoiler yet. But what I will do before we talk about the issue at hand is just give a quick rest in peace, a quick condolences for the passing of Jose Delbo, who drew this book. Jose passed at the age of, I think he was 89. So yeah. he was up there in age and he got to live a long, fulfilling life. I was fortunate. I mentioned on the show like some months back where when Jose came into the book and I just remember like enjoying his artwork so much, I found him on Twitter X and I reached out to him and his nephew reached out to me. And long story short, I have a piece of artwork from Jose that like I was going to forever cherish it anyway, but now it is just a little bit, you know, more special. Now that, Mr. Delbo has passed away, but, I just wanted to say, you know, Jose, you left behind an amazing legacy and I'm honored to be able to cover the books that you're working on, and you will be missed. You were a legend in this industry and, may you rest in peace. Pat, if you want to say something, and Matt, you too.
I think you definitely said it well, Delvin, that he will be missed. I am enjoying the artwork that we have seen, and I think it was really cool that you were able to reach out to him and get some feedback from him through his nephew that did that. Yeah, so that's awesome, and I'm glad you were able to do that before he passed away. So, yeah, rest in peace, Jose.
Yeah, that's one of the rough parts about us growing up and getting older is all the people who shaped our childhood memories and everything, we start losing them. But, you know, I never read much of the comic, but seeing this art, the art is one of the highlights of this issue. And it's it's really awesome that people get to share their talents with us like that.
And I think it'll be a good point to end just to say, you know, yes, he did pass away, but as long as there are books out there like that, and as long as there are people like that talking about him, then he never really truly dies. Now, does he? So,
yes.
So hopefully, you know, we can mention him a few more times, and we're going to be covering the rest of his books because we are going all the way through issue 80, but I'm getting ahead of myself. The purpose of this podcast will be tackling all of Marvel Transformers comics in order, starting with issue 1 and working our way to the series end at issue 80. We will answer any questions that are brought up to the best of our ability and see how these books we loved as a kid hold up to our eyes as an adult. Now, this podcast is guaranteed to be, you guessed it, more than meets the eye. So, Pat, Matt, let's check out a surprising amount of robots take L's to regular human beings right after this promo break.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
What do you get when a fantasy, gaming, horror, sci-fi geek and an Army veteran history nerd want to do a comic book related podcast?
Why, you get the Weird Warriors podcast, of course. Weird War Tales was a 124 issue DC comic book series published from 1971 to 1983.
Along the way, we'll sidetrack on to an occasional special mission where we discuss an issue of a like themed comic book from a different title or publisher.
There are also the rare Road Warriors episodes where we report on comic related road trips like conventions or visiting the homes and grave sites of comic greats.
We'll nitpick what the comics creative team got wrong and crow about what they got right. We'll also break down the facts behind the fiction in the stories, which is sometimes quite weird in its own right. Even the letters page and our favorite ads can't escape our judgment, just as we can't escape yours in our own dead letter office mailbag.
Torpedo-eating dinosaurs.
Haunted chateaus.
Time-traveling rats.
Zombie robots.
Day-walking vampires.
Gargoyle armies.
And that's just in the first 20 Weird War Tales episodes. So, report for duty with the Weird Warriors podcast with Max and Rich, where we promise to make war
no more.
We now return to the Transformers.
Welcome back. The issue we'll be covering today is Transformers issue 46. And here's Matt with the cover description.
So we have Fort Max in the cover box as usual, doing his whole head-tearing thing, really Autobot-like there, with a turquoise background with the Transformers logo in white, line of night blue, with more than meets the eye in yellow running along the top of the cover. The main action of the cover is a muscular human being on a motorcycle brandishing a spiked chain mace in his right hand. If that wasn't biker bro enough, he also has on a turquoise vest and pants with sunglasses, studded magenta ankle bracelets, and a waistband along with spiked wristbands and black boots. He probably also has a chain with the wallet, and maybe spikes on the wallet too.
Gotta have the spiky wallet.
Keep going. Exactly. But in front of him, there's a robot standing there. No combat stance, anything like that. Just standing there, staring at this human about to attack him. A word blurb on the bottom of the right reads, "The Sparkabots battle the Road Jammers." So presumably the robot is a Sparkabot, and the presumed Metallica fan of a human being is a Road Jammer?
Yeah, we should talk about this cover. Pat, I've talked, Matt's talked, hadn't heard from you in a minute. What do you think about this cover?
Well, to start, I do kind of like the angle that this cover is about, how it is kind of with the camera angle kind of in between the robot's kind of legs and kind of looking at this road jammer, I guess we'll call him, coming to kind of trash him with his chained, what is it? You call that like a mace or not? I don't know.
It's a mace. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes maces are like a big smooth metal ball, but sometimes maces can have spikes on them.
Okay. Maybe a flail.
Maybe that's what I was looking for. I don't know. Something where, anyway, it's got this spiky ball and a chain on it, and he's whirling it around, and you know it's going to hurt. But would it actually hurt a metal monster or a metal?
I mean, I would think it would hurt a little bit. I mean, just like if you would see a car and you hit a car with a spike mace, it dented.
I mean, it's the equivalent of like slapping someone in the face. Flesh on flesh, it's metal on metal. Same
yeah, kind of I guess. I guess. But I do like the art that is done for said biker-y kind of guy here that, you know, you guys have described. I do like how that is detailed. Not a lot of overly done with the color, but that's all right because I think it does what it needs to do here.
I'll go next. I'm not crazy about it. Like, first of all, the book is The Transformers, right? I mean, I would hope mm-hmm. that I remember the name of the book. We've done 45 of these so far. And so a Transformer isn't featured. In fact, I don't know who that is. It's just a shadowed robot. And then just speaking about any combat, like it's a robot that's just sitting there, arms at presumably his side. It's not even in any fighting stance or anything. So apparently he's just going to be prepared to eat a spike mace that's going to hit him who knows where, like, and cause who knows what amount of damage. So, like, tactically it doesn't make sense. I don't like the fact that there's not a robot prominent. It's only a road jammer. And I'm not going to remember the road jammer's name. It is. Like, I know the guy. I saw the guy that has the mace. Matt knows. Matt, go for it.
That would be Roadhog. I'm not going to go into his full name because that's one of my points.
Okay. So, yeah. Roadhog. There we go. So the feature character on an issue of the Transformers is a dude named Roadhog. Okay. All I'm saying is that doesn't exactly, you know, tickle the Tommy feathers for me. So I'm going to pass it to Matt. I know Matt has some things to say.
So when I first saw this cover, at first glance, just like quick look, I thought maybe there was like a human reflecting in like a robot visor, something like that. But then when I looked a little closer, and I liked that initially, I was like, okay, that's cool. What's going on here? I looked a little closer and it's like a strange deep up angle from like robot flat clunky crotch. And like a human on a motorcycle coming through it.
Right.
And yeah, not so much. I do like the art of the human, but the robot art was really lacking there. And I think that is also more of just the Sparkabots too. That's kind of their design.
We're going to talk about the Sparkabots, but yeah.
Why?
Because we have to. because it says it in the contract that we have to go through each issue.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes. You know,
I can respect that. The human on it, great art. Love the action. The Transformer on it, I wanted more Transformer.
Pat?
You know, I think I can help kind of give a little perspective on where this might be since we've all read this issue. I'm going to do a quick spoiler that I think it's from when we first meet Roadhog, and he's at this event that he's at, right? And so it seemed like he was fighting a basic robot kind of a thing. So maybe this is just that basic bot that he beat up first.
I see what you're saying, and I like that idea of a no prize.
Yeah, I tried.
I could see that too, but like it was more like a robot car. With that, yeah, so it feels like maybe they did the cover and then they did the story later and they were like, we need some more action here. Let's do it this way. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that's the cover, folks. You can tell our enthusiasm about it, but you don't know how enthusiastic we are about it numerically. So I have to read boilerplate. If you don't know, we rate things here on Transformers Chronicles on a scale of 1 to 10, just like the tech specs of the original toys, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. Matt being the first to rate it. Go.
Oh, I feel bad going first now. But for me, this cover, I'm going to have to give it a 4 out of 10. I am not a fan of that angle. For me, what? It just... Like,
you're not a fan of crotch angle? That's what you're saying?
Not your thing? Flat, deep robo crotch. No.
Yeah. Gotcha. Pat, are you a fan of robo crotch by any chance?
Delvin, stop going through my internet history.
Sorry.
Please. I'm going to just say I'll rate this a 5.
And for the sake of positivity only, I'm giving it a 6. And I'm telling you, I'm almost lying with that 6 because I don't like it to a 6. I don't. It's more of that 5 or 4 range. But like, I'm not mad with the overall average of it being a 5 because the human is well drawn. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. I really do not like on a Transformers comic book that there were no Transformers featured. There was just a robot, and we don't know which robot that was. That's just problematic to me. I don't like that. So that's the cover, folks. And now we go with Pat, who will give us the credits for this issue.
All right. Well, we will be covering Transformers issue number 46 with its on sale date of July 26, 1988. Cover date was November 1988. The cover price was $1. Story was by Bob Budiansky. Pencils go to Jose Delbo. Inks, Danny Bulinati. Why do I always mix that up? All right.
You know you can't read bad.
Yeah. All right. Inks go to Danny Bulinati. Okay. Inks go to Danny Bulinati. Just like that.
Bulinati. Just rolls off the tongue.
It's like, do that in a robot voice. All right. Colors go to Nelson Yamtov. Letters is Bill Oakley. Editor is Don Daly. Cover credits go to Frank Springer. And this is all thanks to Mike's Amazing World and tfwiki.net. Back to you, Delvin.
Thank you, Pat. Let's go to the synopsis.
It is a world transformed where things are not what they seem. It is the world of the Transformers.
Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. Transformers,
robots in disguise. The Transformers from Marvel Comics.
The title of this issue was Cash and Carnage. So I don't know who the Royal Jammers are. Do you? Let's meet them. Burnout has a shotgun and a quick temper. Roadhog has a spiked mace and a lot of gold chains. Scunge and Felix, they look unassuming, but they get the bounty hunting job done too, and it looks like the Z Foundation is interested in all of their services. At the Z Foundation, they are given the code name Road Jammers, given 3 jammers that prevent robots from transforming, and told to go to take out 3 robots in the Northeast United States for the sum of $50,000 a robot. Mission accepted, even though they never got to meet Mr. Z. So I also don't know who the Sparkabots are. Well, 3 robots, the Road Jammers, are after the Autobots Sizzle, Fizzle, and Snoop D.O. Double Jizzle, my bad, Backstreet, were the Sparkabots who were sitting in a Decepticon prison on Cybertron but were freed and gassed up to cross the space bridge in order to come to Earth. All 3 were very quickly taken out by the Road Jammers. Like, dang, it wasn't particularly close. It wasn't close because the Sparkabots didn't really try to fight the Road Jammers, so the Jammers decided that maybe they took out some good guys and were working for the bad guys. Which they were, because Mr. Z was Zarek, the headmaster of the Decepticon Scorponok, and his workers were also headmasters of the Decepticons Horrorbull, Fangry, and Squeezeplay. Thanks to the Road Jammers using a splitter to multiply the power of the jammers they were given, they took over and controlled the Decepticons and Autobots against an overwhelmed Scorponok. Zarek had no choice but to use a reverse jammer to get his guys back on his side, and so the Autobots escaped with the Road Jammers, who part ways, but the Road Jammers may have developed some new tech that a lot of people may be interested in. And with that, we talk about the book. We talk about highs. We talk about lows. The discussion forms from that. We will start with our guest, Matt. Matt will talk about Transformers 46 first.
Well, it's such a plentiful book to talk about.
Stuff abound. Where are you going to start?
Oh, the first thing that jumped out to me, and this is completely almost Transformers unrelated, but I have been in WrestleMania season. Been watching a lot of wrestling lately because it's that time of year. What really stood out to me, the first thing that jumped out to me, was one of our road jammers. Did you catch Roadhog's real name?
Hold on. I did, and I forgot it. I got to look it over.
I don't know if Cat will get it.
From the book here. Randy.
He is the Autobot killer, Randy Horton. He probably hears voices in his head.
So Pat and anybody who isn't a wrestling fan, Randy Orton is a longtime wrestler in the WWE. I started watching when he was a kid, man. When he was a kid. Me and Randy Orton are about the same age. You know what? Keep going. This is depressing.
That's okay. So, because I'm right there with you. But I kind of did like the road jammers. They were interesting. They kind of start out making you think, these guys are going to be straight up villains. And by the end of the story, okay, maybe they're not 100% on the side of the angels, but at least they're more mercenaries than straight up villains.
They're more Luke Cage than Sabretooth.
Yes. Yes. I would agree with that. So that's my first. That's what I've got.
That's a good first, Matt. Pat, you are next, sir.
So this issue was a kind of another one-off-y a little bit. And it was interesting in kind of what Matt was saying, where is the road jammers? Are they good? Are they not? And you got the whole gang together. This felt like a Scooby-Doo mystery. And you know what? You figure it out because it was old man Sarak that was the evil guy at the end.
Yeah.
And you would have got away with it too if it weren't for those road jamming kids.
That's true.
Punk kids. Mm-hmm. Got away with it.
Instead of pulling the mask off, they turn into the masks.
Yes.
So
I was kind of thinking like, well, who is this Z? And what they had me actually going for a while until I'm like, oh, okay. I know where this is going now. Cause I thought like, did, that one other team, who are the other, why am I, there's another, it's a rock name. Rat, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rat.
Was it Rat and they were doing something different? But I liked the concept that they had, that you got this jamming kind of a device that could easily just stop a bot in its tracks, really, from doing anything that it could do. I thought that was a really cool tool. So, yeah, I was kind of wondering who the Z was. And then when they got to it, I'm like, oh, okay, now this all makes sense. And it fell into place, just like at the end of a Scooby-Doo mystery.
Yeah, this was one of those that I was a little bit ahead of the plot. Truth in advertising, like, I have this in my collection. I have had to have read this at some point. I did not remember this book. And so, like, reading it, I'm like, okay, Mr. Z, who is Mr. Z? What character in the past started... Zarek. Okay, yep, it's Scorponok. So I picked up on it kind of quickly. So I was at least proud of myself for that because much like our LBC Crew Minute Mysteries, I never get those, but I got this one. And I was kind of happy about that. I swear the Decepticons, boy, they be on some convoluted plots. The idea of the jammer wasn't a bad idea. And then Zarek even came up with the idea of a reverse jammer. To reverse the effects of the jammer that does the jamming. Why didn't he just try it on his own men?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good idea.
And at this point, I'll even bring up a question. I don't know how Scorponok knows about the space bridge. Now, like, because Ratbat has the space bridge, and Ratbat isn't with Scorponok. So I sort of have a question about that. Now, I don't know if they've been talking in the background or not and whether or not that's going to be revealed. And knowing Bob Budiansky like we do, he probably is. But I had a question about that. But anyway, the whole plot of this is, okay, we have this advice. We have this device and we want to see if it works. So we're going to expend a tremendous amount of energy freeing Autobots from this prison to bridge them across freaking dimensions, basically, to bring them to Earth just to see if it works.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Lord Zarok, you know, he's probably like, guys, how about you just let me try this with you? No, that'll hurt. You're right. I'm sorry.
But it's like, yeah, you're right. It will hurt. Also, I'm the leader and a Decepticon, so suck it up. Beep.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm hosting and I will pass it off to Matt instead of, you know, doing all the talking myself. Matt, what do you have for next round?
So next thing, this just minor. Like I said, I'm stuck in WrestleMania season. Mr. K. Look at Mr. K for me real quick, if you have your book handy, Delvin.
Mr. K.
Yeah, I think there's a time-traveling wrestling fan. Who does Mr. K look like to you?
Who does Mr. K look like to you?
Yeah. Vincent K. McMahon from...
Okay, a little bit. Like, I see it somewhat.
Somewhat.
Like, but especially if I were to bring them back to the 80s.
But then even more than that, I'm kind of impressed that they got Arcade to guest star in this book, too.
Arcade isn't in the book. Who's Arcade? Who do you think is Arcade?
The third of the Z Foundation.
Oh, the red-haired yeah. guy. See, the crazy thing about that,
that's 100%
man,
is Arcade.
Like when Pat was like months ago when the Headmasters were introduced, Pat and probably Maggie too were like, "Do we really need to remember the names of any of these people?" And I was like, "Nope."
Yeah.
Not really. You still don't. I can't tell you any of the names of these people, Pat, except Zarek. Like, Zarek, you know, plays a role. But, like, the other three, like, I think one of them's name is Kreb. Mr. K was Kreb.
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't remember. That's why I was like, I'm not piecing this thing together for a while. It took me long enough to figure out it was Zarek.
The important thing is that they are part of a Decepticon and that they...
They're headmasters.
They're headmasters. That's it. Like it's more it's, in the world of the Transformers, it's more important to know the robot than it is the human component that comprises it. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, it's brought up in a storyline, which is going to happen.
Be it head, gun, or power core.
Yes. Like in general, the robot is more important than the human being in the world of the Transformers, mm-hmm. generally speaking.
Except on this cover.
Except on the cover. Which, as we already discussed, I wasn't a fan of. Yeah, but what can you do? Matt, did you have anything else besides Vincent Kennedy?
Not for this, I will pass it to Pat. There is only one other little thing, but I will save it if we get to it.
Okay. Pat?
So will I need to know the fire cons?
The jailers, right?
Yeah, they were the jailer guys.
Like the freaking micro machine jailer guys.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what they are? Are they the little micro? They look kind of like...
Really they're tiny. Short.
They are tiny. That was the point. They were supposed to be tiny bots.
Okay.
But the answer, maybe? Okay. When I read Transformers Spotlight, it might make a little bit more sense that it is possible that we see some of these characters again.
Okay.
That much I can tell you.
All right. Same for the Sparkabots or whatever, too. I mean, I'm assuming now these three Sparkabots are out there, but there's still some that were left in the Decepticon jail.
Yes. Three Sparkabots were brought to planet Earth. Was it Sizzle, Fizzle, and Backstreet?
Backstreet's back.
I know. I really hope all they use that line when he pops back through at some point. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, would be a good line. That's true. Can't deny that. So, yes. All I could say is this, Pat. Like, I'm a little bit fuzzy on it, but as I mentioned, I was a little fuzzy on this issue. But I was like, whew, I didn't remember it. I remember the cover for next issue well. It was a kind of cool cover. Like, it's not even spoiling it that much because it's a month away, but, you know, Jesse's on the cover. You remember Jesse, right?
I do remember Jesse, yeah.
And, yeah, Jesse's being attacked by, like, it looks like she's being attacked by, like, a shark-type Decepticon with mouth wide open. You see all the mechanics in the mouth and stuff. It's menacing. And rememberable. And so, yeah, this one, didn't remember. So when it comes to the Spark Cons or the Sparkabots, I don't remember them either. So
how about the Road Jammers? Are we going to see the Road Jammers down the road?
It certainly seems like we are, right?
Possibly.
Didn't Bob leave that open, right? To where it's like
it was a little open, but you know, never know if it's just a plot that never gets picked up again down the.
By the end of the story, I kind of hope we see them again.
Yeah, I do kind of. You know, you're right
because nothing too intrigued.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, these guys, you know, they're just kind of out for themselves a little bit now. They could be on either side that really wants them to just needs an, anybody need an Autobot, then this team's your guys, and they'll get it done for you.
Yeah, very true. It looks like they might come back, Pat. And I wish I had a better answer for you than that. I don't remember. I straight up don't remember. So if I know that there are a couple of one-off storylines that are coming up that involve human elements versus smaller robots. So I say the chances are, let's put it at around 50% that the Road Jammers are going to come back. That's better than zero. And I guarantee you that some of our astute listeners are going to be like, Delvin, have you lost your mind today? And the answer is no, not any more than normal. So I just simply do not remember most about the Road Jammers or the Sparkerbots or the Fire Guns. I just don't. And with that, Matt, you said you had one more thing. Now would be the time.
So for me, like I said, the cartoon is my canon when it comes to it. So when I think the space bridge, I don't think an actual bridge appearing. Has it always been that way in the comic?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. That's just really weird to me.
Oh, it actually is weirder. If you go back and read Transformers 18 or so, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Or better yet, to anyone that might be wondering like the origins of the space bridge, just go back and listen to Transformers Chronicles number 18, where we talk about it. So, yeah, you could either find the book for yourself or re-listen to the podcast, Matt, and find out what happens.
It just blows my mind that they're like, futuristic robots, build a bridge. No, transport their matter through space like in the cartoon.
Yeah, there's a transportation, but it is a mechanical bridge. Yeah, okay. Just go back and do some reading and go back and do some listening. And once you do, just message me.
I will do so. I saw that. I'm like, did someone not get the memo? Or they're like, no, literal bridge. Go
for it. Literal bridge. Pat, did you have anything else, man, for 46?
You know, not really. Just, again, real quick, just the artwork. I think that helped carry this issue along as well.
Sure.
From what, you know, story. Yeah. But I think the art was really nice, especially when you get into some of the fight scenes in here were really cool.
Yeah, I thought the build up to the fight scene, the big fight scene was cool. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, I like how Scorponok looks. Like, Scorponok is a very impressive transformer. And so it was cool that, you know, first of all, how big was this parking garage?
That's my question. When was Scorponok?
Scorponok clearly like had a lot of room to just lay low and like and be in that big old freaking scorpion robot form that he does. You know what? I've never heard anyone
where did
say
they get the money for it. Where did they get where did the Xerox get the money for all this?
So I can kind of like, you know, fudge a little bit. Like, you know, they are Nebulon, but they're human passing. And so, like, he probably applied whatever knowledge that he had going from Nebulos and found a way to adapt on planet Earth. And it's not entirely out of the ordinary because, one, last issue, you had Skullgrin that was reporting to Scorponok and he was getting paid in oil. Remember that?
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, maybe he knew enough to transfer that oil into, you know, cash money, liquid assets, and then turn it into the office space and set up that whole line of operations, which is something that a human might understand a lot more than what a robot would. Like Scorponok alone, I'd say no, but Lord Zarak and the Nebulons, that does seem like something that they could devise. That I can excuse.
Yeah, my only thought was the whole, how does some transformer, this is like the whole go into subspace thing. I'm like, okay, did Scorponok like go into subspace of the building parking garage and then pop out? I was like, now he's huge again.
Apparently, that was just a very big parking lot that they had, because at one point it was basically the battle scene of seven different robots, you know, duking it out. So go figure. Yeah.
What did they think they were going to park down there to get permits for that?
I guess they just, you know, I guess like the only people that worked in the building were, you know, the headmasters or the headmaster's Nebulon form. And that was it. Like there wasn't anyone else, maybe a receptionist. And then they told the receptionist to park outside. I don't know. So not a whole bunch to talk about this issue, but just making one last round. Pat, Matt, did y'all have anything else? Pat's nodding his head. No. Matt.
My only thing was, where did Scorponok come from and how is that building still standing?
Got it. I get the feeling that while it was a pitched battle, it was kind of a short one, because like Scorponok tried to be like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, a badass. And it was like, and as they even mentioned, it was like, yeah, you might be a badass, but you're a badass that's outnumbered 6-1. So your odds of winning are low. And as it turns out, he wasn't able to pull it out.
But it's Scorponok against three headmasters and three Sparkabots.
This is me shrugging, Matt.
Yeah.
It was enough for this time. And I can, I'll chalk it up to, you know, when people ask the question, say mainstream Marvel Universe or Marvel DC Universe, who will win between, like I just saw one recently, who will win between Magneto and Iron Man? And the answer ultimately is, depends on who's writing it.
Whoever the writer needs.
Right. So in the case of, there is probably about three more pages of story left and Scorponok had to go against these six robots. It's like, yeah, let's just play the numbers game, describe it, you know, bada boom, bada bing, Scorponok loses. So I was willing to accept it. Matt nods, Pat doesn't have anything else. And with that. Now is the time for us to talk about who had the touch, where we talk about which character in the book stood out the most, be it Autobot, Decepticon, or human. Pat, you're up. Who had the touch to you?
With this story, it's one of those different ones that we see in Transformers that, was it a Decepticon? Was it an Autobot? No, I'm going to go with a Roadjammer. I'm going to go with Felix, the techie kind of guy. You know, I think he had the touch to figure it all out. He had the best brain on the team to, you know when, what side they needed to be on and how to overcome what was being done for them. So I'm going with Felix on this one.
Matt, do you agree? You were nodding your head, but I don't know if you have a different one.
No, Felix is the one who jumped out to me as having the touch. I mean, he's got to be some kind of mega genius to like change up this Cybertronian tech, and he should probably leave the world of crime and start a tech company.
Yeah.
He would probably do just fine.
I'm sorry. I was reading, like I was seeing if he had a tagline and like, and he kind of did, sort of. He liked calling people overconfident and stupid.
Yeah.
That was brought up a few times in the book, and yeah, we're going to go 3-3. I agree. I think Felix was the person that stood out, because he even took a piece of either it was Nebulon tech or Decepticon tech, doesn't matter, and just said, oh, if I just use a splitter, I can continue to use the power and amplify it to like include one other Transformer. That was pretty clever. That was thinking on the fly. And then he figured out that he could control them as well. And so like ultimately the person that wound up saving the day and kicking a lot of Decepticon butt was Felix. Yeah. Wasn't the right, and because he used some of the Decepticons and he used the Autobots and he took down a giant. So that was a very impressive feat.
Yeah,
by Felix. And if we talked about the touch, then someone had out of touch. We talked about the character that was the worst in the book and should have to endure a 6-on-1 assault because you literally gave your enemy the tools to do it in the segment called Less Than Meets the Eye. And with that, Matt, do you have anyone who you thought was less than meets the eye?
Oh, I have definitely someone who is less than meets the eye. Now, as I said, I am a fan of the Decepticons.
Yes.
You wouldn't expect an Autobot to act like a Decepticon. For me, Lesson Meets the Eye goes to Sizzle. The first thing he does when he comes through the space bridge is he's on the road. A human swerves and he decides, oh, I'm going to burn this guy alive. That is not a very Autobot thing to do. Like, he's going to burn him alive so he doesn't try that again. I'm sorry. He's an Autobot? No, Prime would rip his emblem off of him in a heartbeat. That is not Autobot behavior.
Gotcha. He should have been more steak instead of Sizzle. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. It's just no.
Gotcha. Pat, who's less than ECI to you?
This was a tough one, I think. You know, I go between two things, two people.
One,
burnout in the beginning. Just that it's like, okay, dude, you really had to use your own shotgun just to blow up to win a prize.
Two, I agree.
Is Xerox, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, his plan's foiled or whatever. But, you know, and how do you get away with wearing an Autobot suit and then a suit? Wouldn't you know, the nice suit that you're wearing be all boxy looking?
They wear trench coats a lot. Yeah. Of course, at the start, Burnout had a trench coat, and he just looked like a massive human being. So maybe as people just assume that there are very massive human beings wearing trench coats.
They've got that subspace tailoring going on.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Maybe, like he went to the same tailor that Spike Witwicky went to when he was talking to his dad a few issues back. Remember that?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's it. And for me, if I were to pick less than meets the eye, I'd probably go with just the Sparkabots in general. Yes, I do know they're in jail. And yes, I do know that they were underpowered, but God, they just crumpled. They're just like, we're gonna go out fighting. We're warriors. And the Decepticons are like, smack, 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 sit down. They just completely fell over, like, you know, just. And I do want to know, like, what section of the Decepticon prison are they in? Is it like this little tiny cell like that they have, like, you know, in because, I mean, they're all like just these little miniature robots anyway. They don't need to be in a human size or in a large size cell anyway.
It's the electro broom closet. That's where they keep them.
There you go. It's the broom closet of the Decepticon prison. We solve all the answers and questions to y'all here.
Even full powered, I don't think it would make a difference.
Maybe against the fire cons. Maybe. I actually, just real quick, I thought they had some cool modes when they transformed. Like
the fire cons?
Yeah, the fire cons.
Like, yeah, they look kind of interesting.
Yeah, like one has this like firebird mode, and clearly their thing is fire, and they shoot fire because they're fire cons. And, yeah.
But what are the
Sparkabots? Transformation was just turn.
Yeah.
So, were the Sparkabots like all you did was like when you pull back and they would just spark little sparks on them?
Yeah, they would just have sparks coming out of the car.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Hasbro was at the end of their rope with new innovative toys.
They got the assignment and they followed it and did nothing extra.
Yeah. Can't say I'm the craziest about the Sparkabots or the Firecons, you know, but, you know. Bob had to come up with a story for him. Those were orders, and so he did what he was told.
That's 80s Toys Comics.
That is 80s Toys Comics. This is probably one of the 80s Toys comic adaptations that we've read with the Transformers. Like, it for the most part, it's been easy to kind of like submerge yourself into the story, but on this one, it absolutely did feel like there were just new toys being introduced. Yeah, that it was just a toy advertisement more than it was a story. We'll never know the full story behind it unless one day we pull Bob Budiansky on the show. But I'm sure if we did pull him on the show, we wouldn't be asking him about Transformers 46. Regardless, now's the time for ratings of the book. Just as a recap, we honor the old tech specs that came with every Transformers toy and give a rating of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, to describe how we feel about this issue. I'll set the bar. This is a 5. I wasn't the craziest about it. It wasn't bad. There were some elements that were okay, but like I was really, really surprised to see the humans be so effective against the robots like they were. But at the same time, I liked the plan that Zarek had. He wanted to blend into Earth's surroundings and find a creative way to take out the Autobots. So there was that too. So wasn't terrible. Plus Jose Delbo's artwork, you know, definitely is going to at least keep it at the average level or above. So I'm right at a 5. We'll go to you, Pat. Pat, what were you rated?
I'm with you at a 5 as well, too. I think the artwork, again, was very well done. It helped move the story along. As far as the story goes, I think it turned out in the end pretty good because you got the turnaround kind of the heart of the new Roadjammer team. That will they be good? Will they be bad? They're going to be out for themselves, but it still makes it an interesting, and I want to see if they actually come back around and do something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as of right now, at the end of issue 45, you got Circuit Breaker roaming around looking for robots.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
And at the end of 46, you got the Roadjammers looking for robots, too. So there's that. And, like, we hadn't seen a dissolution of the Rat Team. Nope. So it's possible that Rat's still out there. So there's a decent amount of people. With that, Matt, what do you rate Transformers 46?
So I'm kind of a little higher than you two guys on this one. I know I've been snarky about the book at times through this one, but for me, it has a couple things really going for it that I love and miss about comics. So modern comics, it's all about huge arcs and 6 issues, 3 issues, true, 4 issues. I love that I picked this up and I got a complete story. I did not need to like delve in before, delve in after. I didn't need to jump in all over the place. Here's a good contained story. Granted, it was more humans than robots, but I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 because it really picked up and a lot of those threads tied in together at the end of it and kind of left me wanting to know what's happening with these characters who I literally knew nothing about before picking this issue up.
Awesome. Yeah. Great notes. Appreciate all of those. And just as a quick aside before we go to a commercial break, it's okay to read a book and to be delving before and delving after. But that's speaking just from experience, I guess. Anyway.
You can also be delving during it, too.
Yeah, you know what? You absolutely can be delving during it, too. We can and never will leave you without John's segment of the show called Transformer Spotlight, where we discuss a particular Transformer which was featured in today's issue. The Transformer we're talking about today is Backstreet. His function is a sentry. It's noted, by the way, on the TF Wiki page that Backstreet is referred to as a trigger bot, not a sparkabot. I bet John would know why, but he's the librarian, not me. So if you happen to know, feel free to fill us in the comment section when you talk about Transformers 46. But let's talk about Backstreet some more. Backstreet hates warfare. He is not motivated like Beachcomber by philosophical reasons. Quite frankly, he isn't mentally equipped for deep thought. But he at least suspects that a failure to fight would mean Decepticon victory, and that he does not want. No, his temperament is the trouble. He's jumpy and nervous, easily agitated, and prone to jumping to incorrect conclusions from accurate observations. He knows he is like this and tries to avoid battles when possible. Does that make him a coward? Perhaps, but when he cannot honorably avoid fighting, he does his best to crush his fears, lest he be found out. His comrades, unaware of his secrets, know him as an adequate soldier. As a lookout, Backstreet almost excels. His senses are keen, and his nervousness keeps him constantly alert, if edgy. Best of all, he can avoid the worst of the battlefield chaos. Unfortunately, jumping to conclusions is an even worse trait in a sentry than as a frontline soldier. It's worth noting that we have not seen the last of Backstreet. He returns in Transformers 48, and again in issue 63, and again in issue 74. But in what context, I will leave for those issues. He also made appearances in the IDW and the UK storyline. And just as another side note, his name in France was Confusion. thank you to tfwiki.net and transformers.fandom.com for all of the info that I just read. And now we will go to a promo break.
So what you're saying is Backstreet's back.
All right.
Just letting y'all get it out. Go ahead.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
According to the latest report from falsifiedstats.com, 2.3 million new comic book podcasts are being created every single day. If you're looking for something a little different, then let me tell you about Mike's Comic Shop Roadshow. Mike travels the globe and visits comic shops along the way, like Murfreesboro, Illinois, and Liverpool, New South Wales, Australia. So check out Mike's Comic Shop Roadshow, a truly unique comic book podcast among billions of the same old, same old.
We now return to the Transformers.
Now it's time for Transmissions, where we heap praise upon the audience for listening to us. Thank you, and especially thank you. We're going to talk about Transformers episode 43, where we talked about the issue Transformers 43. And I remember that wasn't the greatest one, but we got a lot of comments from it. Really quickly, though, just the shares and retweets we got from Fan Film Fridays podcast, The Days of High Adventure podcast, Scotty Cameron, Steve Cronin, Sean Urbanski, Doc Strange, that's Billy Delicious, and Jim Meal. Thank you all for your shares or retweets. Just as a reminder, we are fortunate. We get a lot of likes when it comes to Transformers Chronicles. So if you want your name mentioned there, like, please share or retweet, and we will be more than happy to read your name in this particular section. And now we're going to go through some social media shares and retweets. We got a lot of them. So we're going to just go through about three rounds of three. And after that, I'm just going to read off the names. And I'm going to start with some guy named Serpy Mad, whoever that is. He says, great episode. And it was awesome to hear my comment read. And you could be rest assured, Serpy Mad, that'll be the last comment that ever gets read by you for Serpy.
Sure. He's a good guy. You should trust what he says.
Kind of sketchy.
He likes the bad guys.
Pat, you're up.
All right. Well, I'll take the next one from Scotty Cameron. And Scotty says, I actually have a copy of this comic. My dad had it as a kid, and I got it when he gave his old comics to my brothers and I. A lot of Transformer comics he's had. So I've reread some of the Marvel Transformer comics to compare and contrast with the new Image Skybound Transformer comics as well. So very cool. And Scotty shows us a picture of this issue 43 and along with his Transformer other ones. Cool.
Yep. He had an issue of Transformers 1 and also a issue of, I believe that's Transformers 1 of the new Image Skybound Transformers comic books. So he was just putting them side by side. Mm-hmm. Matt, you're up.
All right. So we have a comment from The Hammer Strikes. I think Hokoff is going to have to fight John for the right to be the biggest Rodimus Prime fan title.
Yep. That's going to be an empty arena, by the way.
Tickets are still available.
Yeah. Lots of tickets. Might have to give some to the veterans. In any event, Christopher Willette says, I am impressed that not only do you say my name on your show, but you pronounce it correctly. I remember this cover. It looks like fan art. I had not noticed the Wolverine claws, but now that you say it, I don't remember anything beyond that cover, but I know I read it before the seventh grade. You mentioned that it was a wordy comic, so I thought I would randomly point out I have Suff John's Stevens comic book, Super Teenaged Hooper Heroes, which is the wordiest comic I have ever read outside of novel adaptation, where they just stick all of the prose in boxes and the dialogue in bubbles. I had never heard of this book before. He links it as well, even though the cover looks good, at least. So, I mean, I'll give Suff John Stevens comic book Super Teenaged Hooper Heroes credit for that, at least.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know. All right. I'll take the next one from John M. Wilson. And John says, oh, this one. This issue is yikes. But I look forward to y'all discussing it. So thank you, John. We look forward to you listening to it as well. Let us know what you think of our discussion in the comments.
All right. And the next comment is from Herbert Fong. I know I would have read it back in the day when I bought it, but I have absolutely no memory about this issue whatsoever. And he has attached a toy photography of Rodimus and Galvatron with the starry background. Got to say, I'm glad I got to talk about this comment because toy photography is something that I absolutely love. So seeing it in any form is great. Thank you for sharing that.
Matt, like, you should, any new Transformers that we come out with on Longbox Crusade feed on Facebook, you should check it out because Herbert does these reenactments of the covers.
He does, yeah.
And they are flat out awesome. Like I want to see Herbert Fong one day and hug him and like, dude, like it brought so much joy for us just to read this and to see him like do this stuff. And I hope it brings him joy that he does it because we really, really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's, okay.
That's one thing I've always loved is like seeing cover recreations with toys. And that's just great to see that.
Okay. I will read comments from Peter Peltier, who just was asking John, he was wondering if the Transformers librarian has these in his library. I can't quite see the images. I'm looking like there are issues of Transformers Spotlight, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. And so, Pete, since John isn't on this particular show, what we can do is find a way to maybe share some of these images with him, and maybe he can give you an answer directly. Go ahead, Pat.
I'll take the next one from Terrence Robinson. And Terrence says, I know, or at least know of Jared. I grabbed a couple of his pieces at a comic store last year, I think. And I think I know of Jared, and I kind of know of his artwork as well, too. So, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I hate having to discuss Jared on this show because he's not on it. This is my show. So that was a terrible comment. I'm kidding.
You may have to censor my comment, but I would recommend people picking up Jared's artwork. It's great stuff.
I don't know about all that. Absolutely go pick up Jared's artwork. The Yartel Artist. TheYartSaleArtist.com. Doesn't he have a website? I should know that. I hear him talk about it pretty much every show I'm on with him. I believe that's it. TheYartSaleArtist.com. There's one more comment that Matt's going to read.
And we have from Kevin Clark, of all the cartoon episodes they chose to adapt from arguably the bones of More Than Meets the Eye Part 1, why did they pick half of a story?
No idea, Kevin. No. None. It was so weird. Like, what was the thing they were after? Why? Our continued theory is that this was just one of those, top shelf ones that they just needed to quickly spell the art team or something like that. Because as we've already discovered, it did not seem like 43 was ever meant to be a part of continuity because 44 picks up right where 42 left off. Who knows? Just one of those Mighty Marvel mysteries. We have a lot more comments, guys. And I first just want to say thank you to you all. And so at a minimum, I want to make sure that your names are read. And just to say thank you so much for all of these comments. We got comments from Jonathan Young, Ian R. Wright, Jeff James, Louis Rosa, John Cruz, John E. Conway, Juan De La Torre, Rick Goodwin, Brent Barnhart, Gary Duncan, Chris Edwards, Jonathan Smith, Shannon Carballo, and West McGee. Thank you so much for those comments. That was on Facebook. And Scotty Cameron once again came through on Spotify. He was the only comment this month on Spotify, but we still have our Spotify listeners that we want to give a hearty thank you to listening to us via Spotify. Please tell your friends about us so we can continue growing there too. Thank you so much. If we happen to miss a few, we do apologize. It's certainly a good problem to have, but we absolutely don't want to forget to recognize anyone. Ping us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We will correct it the next issue. And everybody, that's the show. Please come back and join us for the next episode where we discuss Transformers issue 47, where we see the beginning of the development of a major storyline. and the introduction of the C-Cons. More robots, Pat. More robots.
I'm excited.
If you'd like to hear from us, Longbox Crusade, we're everywhere, y'all. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and most podcasters, to include Spotify. Look for Longbox Crusade. You'll find us. Same thing with Twitter. Same thing with Facebook. Same thing with Instagram. And we mentioned at the top of the show about Patreon. We have a Patreon feed at $1 a month. You can become a part of the Crusaders Club like Matt Paso is. You can join us on YouTube as well. Please subscribe there. Look for Longbox Crusade. You will find us. We have to do a live stream once a month. Every second Sunday, we have Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast that I host myself. And we drop podcast content on YouTube weekly, usually twice a week. So we got content, y'all. We would love for you to come check us out. And there's a voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail comment on 707-532-5269. That is 707-532-LBOX.
Pick up the phone.
Thank you, gentlemen. You can also email us at contact@longboxcrusade.com. Pat, could you tell us where you can be found out on the internet?
Well, Delvin, I'm glad you asked. You can find me on the internet on the X at Christatos01. Delvin, where can you be found?
I can be found on Twitter, X, DEE_RAY1977, and Instagram at Delvin Ray. Matt, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate you pinch hitting for us. You are awesome. Please let everybody know where you can be found.
You can find me pretty much anywhere. Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, all that good stuff. You can look up my username, Serpy Matt, and that's where you will find me. Toy pictures, comic book talk, wrestling talk, pretty much if it's nerdy, I'm talking about it or taking pictures of it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt, and thank you everyone for listening. See you all next time. And remember, freedom is the right of all sentient beings. Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
You got the touch, you got the power, yeah.
All songs, song clips, and characters discussed are copyright of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended, and it is for entertainment purposes only. We are just fans that like to share our love of comics.